Hey, it's Herbert. Mm-hmm. And you're listening to the About Last Night podcast, you slippery little son of a bitch.
I forget where they were going to put me, but I sold it. It was like 60 seats or 50 seats.
You just start
seats.
Going, yeah? Yep. Okay, cool. So we're already going?
Yep.
Cool.
Oh, my bad, yeah. Sorry.
No, we'll start when we start. We can just bullshit
from
there. Yeah.
I was like, they had me at this small 50-seat place, and I was like, they're like, it's sold out. Do you want to add a show? And I was like, sure. And then they're like, that one's sold out also. Do you want to move it to this other place?
Oh, cool.
So, because I did it with this rock promoter.
Was it the crocodile?
And so they moved me to Chop Suey, was where I ended up. But I don't remember where the first place was before that.
And this was coming off some... When did you get into your mom's house family?
That was in... The first time I was on was like the end of 2017. Or no, it would have been the end of 2018.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And that does that feel like when things took a turn?
Oh, it is when things...
It
it's
is,
no
yeah.
doubt when things took a turn. There was no anything before that other than, like, you know, I had worked with guys on the road, so I was getting regular road work, especially with Tom.
Yeah.
Being, like, the highlight of that, obviously. But other than... I thought that's what I was going to be doing forever. You know, I'm like, this is fine. I mean, I'm a middle... I'll just get my middle work and die someday. That'll be the end of it.
And die?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you die someday, right?
Yeah.
So I'll just go to, like... it's working for now.
And... What if I was shocked by that statement? And
yeah,
I was
you're like, wait
what
do you mean,
second.
Die?
And Tom Cruise doesn't do his own stunts? Yeah.
What do you mean by die, really?
Yeah. I have been...
You're saying I'm going to have to do that?
Yeah. Well, dude, it's so funny. There's certain... You know, I think it just as you get older, you start to become more... I don't know if accepting is the right word, but aware of, like... You know, like I smacked my foot into the edge of a couch a couple days ago, and one of my toes is so fucked up... And I was like, and then it caused like some leg aches,
sure.
And my head immediately goes to blood clot, right? It's so, it's like, that definitely is a shift.
Yeah.
Like, as far as just like being more attentive to like
of
medical
course.
Concerns or jumping to conclusions before you, you know, consult an actual doctor.
Yeah, dude. I mean,
do you have any of those where you like, you know?
Well, I'm 35 and I look way older than I'm 30, than 35. And
what do you
I
get?
Should be like... What do you mean?
Like, what do people think?
I don't know, 45, you know?
Sure.
I don't know what they think. They always, every time I say I'm 35, the internet explodes and they're like, what? There's no way.
Yeah,
Like, I'd be lying about being, like, if I was going to lie, I would try harder to look younger.
Right.
You know? But this is just what I look like.
Have you always had this beard?
I've had the beard, but it wasn't always gray.
Mm.
It just recently became gray. My hair was going gray when I was, like, 16, but then I lost it when I was, like, 25. So
16
like,
going gray?
Yeah, dude.
Whoa.
It was weird.
Is that hereditary?
I don't know. I think it was just stress related. I don't even know what I was stressed about, but
you
it was
be
like,
stressed at 16.
Yeah,
whether
I
it's
just,
like,
I don't
know, video game related or, you know.
I was high strung, I think.
Yeah.
You know, I just was kind of like, I ran quick. And then I discovered weed in college and it just totally opened me up.
Totally.
Like, it changed everything. It slowed me down.
Are you glad you didn't smoke pot in high school? Do you think you would have been one of those kids that, like, you know, got lunch in the parking lot and then just went to somebody's house for the rest of the day?
Yeah, because I will say, I don't think it takes away motivation. I just think it focuses your motivation. And in high school, I was motivated to do ancillary things.
Hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So I wasn't a great student, but I was in all the clubs. I was doing all the bullshit. And I think if I would have smoked weed, I would have gone like, well, that's not that important.
Totally.
So I don't really need to do that. And,
yeah. Also, in high school, at least for me, the few times I did it, I was like, oh, this is a lot of fun. If I was doing this all the time, or the kids that, like, I always marveled at the kids that were high in class that were able, but it was so obvious. It was like,
now
whenever
I
they get called
back,
on, they'd be like, five. And they're like, do I ask you what the capital of Florida was? Oh, eight. And then you're like, all right, this kid is not there at all and was so not good at hiding it. But then there were a few of those kids that could just smoke and be. It was almost
perfect.
Like they were too cool. Like,
well, that's
like,
the thing. That's what I was going to say. Don't you think if you went back with your brain now, you would enjoy boring classes more because you would be high.
1,000%.
And you would be actually more focused and attentive.
I would have loved math.
Yeah.
Math was so stressful for me. I'd go in early to try to like figure it out for truly just, I think, for, you know, GPA college purposes of like being like, I need to somehow. But also, I was so torn because I'm like, I'm never going to need the quadratic formula.
Right.
You know? There's never going to, I'm not going to be held up at gunpoint. Someone's right. going to be like, what is negative B over 2A, you know?
Yeah, I think I would have given more of a shit about science. I don't think I'll ever give a shit about math. I don't know why. It's just, when there's only one answer,
I hope the kids are watching
me.
This episode.
Yeah, I just never liked the fact that there was one answer to something. And I know like,
what a fresh take.
It's just like boring to me.
Yeah.
And so.
It's just got to be one way.
It's like, oh, this complicated odyssey to get to one answer every time. Like, what if I figure out another way out of there? You know what I mean? Or something like that.
No,
like,
teacher's going to stand for that. It's like, show me your exactly. work. It's like, well, that's not how I would have done it.
Exactly.
And you're like, fuck you, Mr.
That's why I liked English class, because you could fucking bullshit your way
totally
around everything. And you couldn't be wrong if you could justify
it. Oh, yeah.
It. Like, if you showed your work, so to speak.
Did you have a favorite class?
Oh, like English class. English class and, like, history, probably. Because then history, too, you could... You know, sort of like
make up your own
way
deets.
Through that too. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Not dates necessarily, but theories as to why something happened.
Totally, it was more open for interpretation and
exactly.
just at least like exploration of the, you know, yeah. How do we get to this point?
Yeah,
I had a history teacher named Mr. Clayton, and he was, you know, he always he had all these crazy stories. First of all, he was like 6'10", wore these tight polos with his big chest, and his hair would just ooze out of the polos.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Can we get some Lubriderm up
Sounds
in here?
Sounds like my dad so far. Keep
yeah,
going.
He was he had a dad bod for sure.
Yeah.
But he had a big voice. Mr. Clayton, again, 6'5", 6'6", I think played power forward for the University of Washington in like the 70s.
No shit.
But also had numerous outer body experiences in like Zimbabwe and Africa and fucking, you know, Burbank. I mean, this guy just went, you know, he was like, I can put together an IKEA desk in 12 minutes. Like, he just had a crazy zest for life and stories for days. So we would always go out of our way to ask him about these stories on, like, days when there was a big test, mm-hmm. knowing that he would get deterred and go off on a tangent. And we'd be like, what was that time? Because yeah, we're going to go over this. We're going to watch a 20-minute video, and then we're going to take the test. And the video would end, and we'd be like, yo, this person just, you know, wasn't here last week when you told, when was that, when you took all those shrooms in Ethiopia, like, what happened again? He's like, oh, that's a crazy story. And the next thing you know, he would tell it and get so lost in it, the bell would ring.
Nice.
And he'd be like, all right, I guess we'll take the test next week. And it was like a surefire plan.
You could just wind him up and he'd go.
Totally.
Anything.
Did you have anybody like that or a teacher that you, like, connected with?
There was tons of teachers I've connected with, but they were the ones that I knew that I could just be like, listen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I was a bullshitter throughout school. Like, that's all it was.
Oh, really?
I figured out, like, if you do all the clubs and get to know all the teachers on, like, almost a human level, you could get away with pretty much anything.
1,000%. Would, like, you make them laugh?
I would make them laugh. I was doing the morning announcements.
Me too.
And I would say all kinds of dumb shit that I probably shouldn't have said.
Yeah.
I would make presentations bits. I would, like, it wouldn't be bits, but it would be, like, my way to make the class laugh. And they would be not informative whatsoever.
And most teachers, you know, and I think they deserve a little credit for this. If you, because, you know, I think you and I are one of the same in this regard, where there's not a lot of people going out of their way to turn projects into, like, whether it was making it a video project when it wasn't required,
right.
or something to make it more fun for yourself. And then also the teacher was like, all right, well, that was, like, different and funny enough, so it's worth at least a B.
Well, that's the,
like,
thing. That's what they would go, like, they would almost respect the way that I avoided doing it.
Totally.
And then still gave a presentation that was, like,
within
engaging.
Content, yeah.
You know
totally.
What I mean? Like, I remember there was one class, this was more in college, but, like, there was a class where they would, the whole, I forget what the name of the fucking class was, but it was, like, a communications class, and the object of the task was to make an instructional video
yeah.
on how to do something.
Yeah.
And I made mine on breathing. And, like, and it was just so absurd, like.
Do you remember any of the...
I just went into depths about, like, inhaling is how you inhale oxygen. Oxygen replenishes, you know, stuff like that. And then exhaling, like, and I just did it on breathing.
Did you have, like, that everyone do it together? Like, just to, like, now feel, do you ever just feel your breathing?
Yeah, I don't remember, like,
just to,
like,
stretch out the...
It had to be, it had, the only, like, rules were it had to be an instructional video on something that was two steps long.
I love
it. Inhaling and exhaling.
Wow.
So I was like breathing. And in the teacher, he was like, that was so half-assed, but also kind of genius. So he gave me like a full credit on it, like an
Whoa.
A. And then I did the next one. I was like, now I got to follow it up with someone. Because, you know, they kept increasing.
Yeah,
the next one was like, do a five-step instructional video about something, and people were doing like horseback ride, like really intense shit. I did going up the stairs, or like using the stairs or something like that, like something so dumb. And I showed like my friend, like, here's how to do it wrong. We're just doing pratfalls down the stairs.
Amazing.
And shit. And that one had to be a video. So yeah, I mean, I just literally laziest concepts I could come up
yeah.
with.
Yeah, but also, but again, making it fun for you, which is like, I don't know, dude. I'm sure in hindsight, there's a lot of people that would look back and be like, man, I wish I had fucking taken a risk. But no one's thinking outside like that. They're just like, this is
I
what
wish
it is.
I wish
just
I could
do
take credit
assignment.
For thinking outside. It was strictly out of like, I got to do this. I don't give a fuck. I was also like so bad at college. Like high school, I at least thought like, by the rules of society, I have to give a shit. In
right.
college, I go, this I'm paying for. So I can do whatever I want.
Go to the beat of my own drum.
Yeah, and I never showed up, and I barely, like, tried. But, like, I went to Canisius College. It's a small Jesuit college in Buffalo.
Whoa.
Golden Griffs. I don't, like, root for the basketball. Like, I hated college. I really did. But
you love Buffalo.
I love Buffalo.
What are your favorite things about Buffalo? Here's what I enjoyed about Buffalo in my one time there.
Sure.
The Goo Goo Dolls are from there, first of all, which I love.
That's you and my buddy Matt Bergman both opened for them on that arena tour.
Oh, yeah.
It must have been. He had a different
it was
incident
all,
maybe than you had.
He had a different what?
Well, he was up there, you know, doing his thing, and he was, you know, like people are filing in, you know. On
it's
a,
tough.
Thing.
There's
it's tough.
And by the way, it was a like last, I was going to the show. I met them at Sirius in New York, became buds, went to a few shows. They did the podcast. And they just were, you know, had a great time. So we just, you know, kept in touch, did a few other things creatively with them. And that show was already out there. So they're like, oh, we'll do 20 minutes before us. But it wasn't announced.
Right.
And that's what's tough.
That's
like,
the toughest part.
I've opened for a few other music acts like that where it was advertised enough to where people were expecting comedy.
Right.
But in a rock venue where it was like that out of nowhere and it was not conducive truly for comedy, it was definitely like a bar show. And it was
yeah, with
an
arena full of people
yeah.
and children, by the way.
Hilarious, yeah.
And like families and stuff because the Goo Goo Dolls are a broad
yeah.
Drawing act.
Totally.
So my buddy Matt, Robbie's around Buffalo all the time. Mm-hmm. I don't know Johnny
yeah.
or I feel bad. I don't know the other gentleman's name, the new drummer. But Robbie, I know. I've been to weddings with Robbie and stuff
cool.
like that. So like he used to come to the radio station I worked for all the time. We worked pretty hand-in-hand in his Music is Art Festival and stuff like that. And so my buddy Matt is a comedian that's on Robbie's record label.
Oh, cool.
So he's a Buffalo comic as well. And Robbie had him come do a couple of dates or whatever.
Yeah.
And he was up there doing it, and like it was rough. And he just kind of like, you know, trying to draw any sword out of his sheath. He ended on a closer that he was doing for a while, but he forgot how like dirty it was.
Yeah. Which is like, there's no coming back from that. Once you start your filthy closer,
right?
No one is good enough to adjust and clean it up the way that it needs to be.
Well,
can adjust words.
He didn't even think, because I talked to him afterwards. I'm like, what did you end on? And he told me which one. And I go, you ended on that and a Goo Goo Dolls concert?
The fat cockpit.
There's children there. And he's like, oh my God. He like never even had thought of that.
Oh God.
And then he got an email from a dad that was like, you know, my children were like, you made an awkward conversation. I was like, what were you thinking?
You made an awkward conversation.
Was,
I have
let's
to
just say it involves
my son.
It involves a dog and sex. So
oh, wow.
There's things in like it wasn't that. I mean, it's not that crazy.
Could
but
he somehow
I'll let you look up his dry bar special?
So it was a bestiality take on some sort of.
There was a inference, if you will. In there, yes.
Did he at least tie it into like, you know, and the dog as I was blowing him, we was with the, and in the background you could hear, and I don't
yeah,
want
yeah,
the
yeah.
world, you know, just
and Broadway was dark
yeah.
that night.
Yeah, yeah. Good night, everybody. Yeah. Who's ready for the Goo Goo Dolls? Yeah. And I'll tell you, I don't remember that dog's name. That's one of their songs. You got yeah. okay, we got it. Yeah,
his name was Black Balloon, and so was mine. Yeah, that's how he has it. Black Balloon. If you get
yeah,
it,
yeah,
winky
yeah.
face.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Buffalo. Also has Niagara Falls.
Well, I mean, sure, I guess.
Right?
I
okay.
hate
well,
that part about
to...
Niagara Falls. Like, I used to get dragged there when people would come visit, things like that. And it's always funny when comics, like, I used to be the host or the middle that would, you know, drive the comics to Niagara Falls.
Because that's the go-to move, right?
People want to do for whatever reason. I guess it's something to see.
Yeah, it's one of the seven.
As somebody who's not from there, you're like, you think about it, you go, oh, yeah, that's like one of the seven...
wonders of the world.
Deadly sin? No.
Yeah. What are the seven wonders? Do we know?
The pyramid. Well, it's natural wonders, right? So it's that, and I think there's like a volcano. See, I don't have any idea.
Yeah.
If I was in a city with another one, I wouldn't even know that it existed.
These are the things that you just go, doesn't matter. But
it
like,
doesn't.
Unless you're on like a game show.
And I'm going blind, and you would think I would be like, I got to see that crazy tree or whatever it is before I lose it. You know what I mean?
Are you really going blind?
I mean, probably. I am blind in one eye, and this one's bad. And
I know you've had glasses since you were two. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
so so eyesight's been wonky since two.
Yeah. And I don't even care that I've seen Niagara Falls. You know? Fuck it. Who cares?
What would you like to see before...
I just want to see all of the tits so I can download them all in my face before I go blind. So when I'm put into a padded cell someday, I'll be able to pull up... Remember Sarah's tits? Okay, good. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like Sarah's tits. Another Goo Goo Dolls song that people forget about.
I mean, I'm not leering if I'm out there. I'm just downloading because, you know, it could get bad down the road, you know? But Niagara Falls sucks, and I have had to go to it many a time, and...
Never gets cooler, huh?
Well, why would it? You've been there. What, you saw it, and now do you ever need to go again?
I'll be honest, no. And I saw it, and I go, wow. And it was like very Chevy Chase Vacation, where I was like, all right. And then I just felt like I need to stay longer, because I'd gone out of my way to be there.
All the way there.
Also,
yeah.
I didn't know what I was going to do that day.
Sure.
It was like, should we drive by General Mills and smell Cheerios?
Who'd you
again?
Go with?
The kid who was
Sean,
who
runs the club.
Yes,
nice. Okay, cool.
Great
yeah.
kid.
Sean's one of my best friends.
I love that kid.
Yeah.
That was a true, and that's honestly a reason why I'm bummed that this next trip I'm going on to there is getting pushed.
Yeah, they'll get you back.
Because look, there's a lot of great clubs and a lot of great people that run clubs. That definitely stood out as far as like cool. You know,
Sean's accommodating to like literally
accommodating
any type
is the
of
right
act
word.
That comes through. Like,
and went out of his way to be like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know." And I was like, "I think this." He's like, "I'll pick you up tomorrow." And it was like, "Whoa, cool, man!"
And it's easy. It's a good hang. It's not like you're not like annoyed. As a guy who doesn't drive, I've noticed this recently. People always want to offer you rides to places, and then you're like, "Why would I do that? I'm trapped in the car with you." Then, as opposed to like, I could be on a subway and. Sure, there's Looney Tunes on there, but they're bugging all each other. You know, they don't bother me. I have to sit in the car with you the whole time.
Has that held you back from seeing certain things, knowing that, like, wow, that's a two-hour trip with that person?
Yeah, well, it's not only that. It's like when you go to a city and you don't drive, you know, I would like to maybe, it would be cooler if I had a rental car, I would explore more probably.
Yeah.
Especially like a place like if you're on the outskirts or what have you. But like, I wouldn't go, if I was not from Buffalo, I don't know that I would ever go to Niagara Falls. And that's only because I'm maligned with the previous experiences. I mean, you saw it. Our side is Johannesburg. And then you have over there in the Canadian side, it's like, you know, Disneyland.
Yeah, it looked cooler.
It's so much cooler.
Yeah.
We have nothing on our side.
Is that why having people jumped, right?
I mean, that's not why, but that is... If they're going to jump, they should do it on the prettier side,
I would think,
right? Take the risk. Go over the border and jump where there's like a Ferris wheel behind you or something. Don't do it on our side where no one's going to notice.
Is it weird that was one of my first thoughts? I was just like, I wonder how many people have jumped.
Oh, that's everyone. That's
yeah.
I do love the morbid aspects of Niagara Falls. Did you have the moment where you stared into the Horseshoe Falls and wanted to climb in? Because there is that element. A lot of people have that. They're hypnotized by it and they want to climb in.
It's a normal human thought, I think, to be... at any certain like elevation and look down and go and envision yourself falling to your death.
Yes.
Right?
Mine is more when you're standing at the crest of it, right at the falls, it's the rushing water that's going right over.
Yeah.
I want to feel the force of that.
Yeah.
Like I want to like put my hand in it or something.
Do you know what you would say if you were to jump?
what I would say right before to all the people.
Yeah.
I'd be like, have fun living through this now. Like, you know, something like that.
Never forget me.
Yeah. You won't.
Yeah.
You're scarred forever.
Yeah.
I think about my mom used to tell us all the stories of the people who died on Niagara Falls. Like, as
I thought you were about to say, my mom used to tell me what the best thing to say before you jump would be.
No.
No, yeah.
There's like a famous one, though, of a little kid who fell off a boat like way up the Niagara River. And there's like a point in the Niagara River where, if you go beyond it, it's like the point of no return. They have like signs like it's fucking Disney World where they don't go any further. Like it's the log flume thing, yeah. Splash Mountain.
I feel like every river, by the way, has a kid fell out of a boat story.
Well, of course, kids are always falling out of boats, right? This one, though, it was he's so small, 7 years old or something like that, in a life vest. And he goes out over the falls. People are trying to get him with ropes. Can't do it. It's like back in the 50s or 60s, I think. And this kid is so light, though, and in a life vest that the propulsion of the falls threw him out over the rocks. So he just went right into the water, and he didn't get crushed by the falls or the rocks below. He went out over it. It threw him out far enough.
Wow.
And so he lived, and he's like, he goes around and does like speaking engagements.
I was gonna say,
is he
Tony Robbins' like protege?
He's like really like, I don't want to talk about it, but he'll do it. He'll do an interview like on the anniversary or whatever, you know, like that kind of thing.
I wonder if he's got like flashbacks or like. By the way, that's a, you know, do you go on to do great stuff after that, or do you go like, are you even more of a risk taker because you're like, I'm not even supposed to be here, man?
He was pretty normal, but there was one guy who, in my adult life, when I was on the radio there, I think his name was Kurt Jones.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear about him?
No, sounds like a survivor, though.
Well, he just crawled into the falls and laid in like this, and same thing happened to him.
As a dare?
No one knew why at first, so it throws him out. Same thing. Same sort of science makes him live. And then Maid of the Mist scooped him up. He became like a folk hero because he had said he intended to do it. But everyone thinks he tried to kill himself. Like, everyone's pretty sure he was trying to kill himself.
I love
just
how
accidentally made it.
I love how people are definitely like trying to pull the rug out from under his. He's trying to get his own speaking engagement tour.
That's
like,
the thing.
Fuck you. You were miserable. We all know it.
He started going, I'm like a daredevil. He started doing
daredevil
press.
Shit. Okay.
We had him on the radio all the time, and he was not all
Cuckoo
with it.
Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. And then he was like, I'm going to do it again. So he put himself in a barrel.
I'll show you guys.
He did it again in a barrel and died.
Oh, no.
The barrel was where he went wrong.
Yeah, dude.
That's a lot of weight. The barrel hits the rocks and
you die.
What are
you mixing it up for?
You got to go with the original plan. He thought maybe a different stunt or something. I was like, put yourself on fire or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I would. I dated a girl once who used to, you know, provide me with those types of scenarios. This was her idea of pillow talk. She'd be like, would you rather drown to death or be burned alive? I was like,
that's
what
hot.
The fuck are you planning?
You didn't marry her?
Yeah. No, she ended up fucking a camera guy in Reno. But
wow, Jesus.
But, you know, I think that's a Garth Brooks song.
Would you rather fuck a camera guy in Reno? Or
yeah, who's this for? Yeah, or be burned alive. Like, wait a second. Those don't seem like they balance out. Do you consider yourself a risk taker? Have you ever?
No.
No.
I mean, I'm a risk taker in that
on
I
stage,
exist with
on
this
mic.
But I don't know. I don't even think about that. But I'm saying I'm a risk taker just every day waking up and walking outside with these eyes like into, I don't, you know, just walking down the street. I feel like I'm taking a bit of a risk.
Really?
Every day. Yeah. You know, I'm walking into poles and shit.
You truly...
It's getting worse.
Oh, really?
It's just getting worse. You know, blind in one eye is not as easy to navigate things. And that happened kind of like in the last 10, 12 years or so. So I'm still like getting used to it, I guess you could say.
So what percentage would you say you can see out of the eye that's
with
not...
like glasses, I can see like 20, 30 or whatever with my glasses, but sort, you know, it's still one, you know what I mean? So like, you know, people try to be like, you know, toss you a ball or something. You're like, whoa, you know what I mean? Or
hey man,
you want a beer? And I'm like, yo.
Yeah, that could end me.
Yeah, exactly.
Has it given you more of an appreciation or more of a hatred towards like, you know, the small things in life and or people with two eyes?
Beautiful women. I don't know if it's because of my sight or whatever, but I very much appreciate seeing a beautiful woman. I really do. Like, that is more to me than seeing, like, I could go watch a sunset and be like, yeah, whatever, and, like, look at my watch or whatever.
Cool. Good to know.
But, like, a girl, yeah. I am like, if I see a pretty girl, I'm just like, oh, my God. I don't know what that is. It's partly my father in me and then also, like... just the fact that, like, I know, again, someday I might go blind, and then it's like, I can't even look at porn. You know what I mean? It's like all imagination time.
Wow.
You know, reading rainbow shit.
Do you feel? Yeah, I think LeVar Burton actually said that. Yeah. Once your eyes go, it's all imagination time.
Yeah.
And he was speaking about porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he's like, but don't take my word for it. He's like, take hers. Cuts to like a shot of just somebody playing with themselves.
I used to use that in like college to get like flashed. I'd be like, someday I'm going to go blind and I hope someday I get to see tits as nice as yours. You know, something like that.
Whoa, and it would work?
Like, they'd be like, you can just see mine. Yeah, it would work. A lot. That was like before I could have sex.
A sympathy flash, yeah.
Yeah, I would take that before. That's before I like got laid or anything.
I don't even consider. Yeah, what age was that?
Throw that. You know, early. I didn't get laid till I was 22. So like 19, 20, around there.
And I don't even consider that slutty. I feel like that's a.
No, that was nice.
A good Samaritan move.
Exactly.
That's what we call a mitzvah in the Jewish show.
That's why it would work so often because they felt like their heart grew. Two sizes, but, you know what I'm saying? They
really, your wiener grew five.
They thought they were doing a nice deed, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Quick question for you. Do you know that 85% of people, that's right, 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? I know a lot of comics who play fantasy sports. And yeah, their stories more often than not are about how they made the wrong picks and lost all their rent money. And how they need to borrow 50 grand. Is it really that surprising, though? No, the game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention fucking experts, people that just have more tools and more knowledge and more time than you do. You don't stand a chance. Well, I've got the Daily Fantasy Sports book that's right for you. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever Daily Fantasy Sports book that puts you, the player, in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you... Here's how it works. It's very simple. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and then dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. Your name, your stakes, winner take all, baby. You have the advantage here. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. The amount of other sports bookie sites I've fucked with and heard about and have friends participate in and make money and lose more money, it makes Stat Hero the obvious choice because they're giving you the advantage of seeing the house's lineups and taking them on straight up. You are in total control. Stat Hero is the way sports betting was meant to be, one-on-one. So play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lastnight, sign up for free, and right now you can get 3 times back on your first play by signing up right now at stathero.com/lastnight. So go to stathero.com/lastnight. They're even going to give you a 300% match. That's unheard of right now if you go to stathero.com/lastnight. Start betting on the sports that you love the right way, okay? Because I know you're tired of getting killed by daily fantasy sports experts. Don't play the experts. Play the house with Stat Hero, the only sports betting site that gives you multi-day fantasy survivor contests for all sports all year long. See the competition ahead of time. Pick the lineup you think you can beat. Go head-to-head with no pool of opponents. Because no matter how you play, there's a contest for you. So stop wasting your money and give yourself the best shot at winning with Stat Hero. StatHero.com/lastnight. Do it, baby.
Comedy has always, I feel like, been a part of your DNA, yeah?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was fucking around in high school, like I mentioned. And while I was in high school, I managed to use internships and things like that to finagle my way onto the local morning radio show. Like when I was 15, they gave me a job.
Wow.
And so like my
big time, right? Because that's your...
That's all I thought I wanted to do, by the way.
Oh, wow.
They were like the celebrities to me.
Totally.
And I was like, I want to be one of the guys they have on their show. Like, you know, they have all the shows have like a third guy,
yes,
a producer, stuff like that. I was like, if I could be one of the guys on that show someday, I said, and then I did it like in high school. And then I go like, well, now what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the time I was 22 and shit, I was like, what do I do next? Do you think? You know what I mean? Like these guys have to die and then I get their show. Like what happens?
It also probably gave you a little boost in confidence as far as like, oh, wow, I wanted to do that and I did it. So now maybe... dreams that are bigger and Hollywood related are probably not that crazy.
Well, yeah, but like also you get beaten down in local radio to the point where just going like, I'm a fucking hack. I'm in local radio. Look at some of the people that are like, I was lucky enough to work on a very talented show that's still even doing it. And like, they always evolved and they let me do whatever I wanted. And we had so much fun and we did some fucked up shit and some fun shit. And it was awesome. And then you like venture out and you see who else is working in your ranks and you see some real horse shit and you are just like, huh, how come I'm not ascending out of this? Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So I didn't ever think Hollywood or anything like that. I thought maybe like, oh, I'll get on a show and maybe one day that show will be on in two markets or three markets or something like that. But then, you know, radio started becoming less and less of a thing. And I didn't know where to go from there, but I was doing stand-up. I started doing stand-up, like, in my early 20s, and that started getting a little bit more steam. I was like, hey, maybe I can actually do stand-up and live without radio. And it started becoming, like, that's how shitty money I was making in radio, that the stand-up middle money was starting to catch up to it. Wow. So I was like, you know, it was nice to do both.
Did you feel like you were hindered in the radio world comedically? Like, did you ever feel like you were developing bad habits or like, would you think of funny stuff but have to?
Well, the fun part about radio was the only real rules back when I mean, like, it's worse now. Obviously, it's like, you know, anything else where you have to be careful about subject matter and anything like that because you're in a thing where people can stumble upon you.
You can't do a LeVar Burton tits bit.
Right.
On morning radio.
But back in the early 2000s or mid, I should say mid 2000s to late 2000s, you know, that at that time, there really wasn't Twitter or anything like that. And that was the fun part when someone would stumble upon some fucked up shit that you were doing that doesn't normally listen to the show. And they would call in and be like, what the hell is this? My daughter's in, you know, like, and you're like, ooh, you're like, we're going to get a letter. You know, like it was fun to do that kind of thing. And the only real rules were FCC related. And now it's like you talk about, like, you open the first 5 minutes of your YouTube video going like, there was a school shooting and blah, blah, blah. People are like, demonetized, you know? Yeah. So now I don't know what the, like, rules really are. Whereas the FCC's like, don't say shit, don't say fuck, don't describe an explicit sex act. So you would have fun dancing around those things, but still conveying those ideas. That was, like, the most fun of it. It was like a magic trick. You could be as filthy as you wanted as long as you didn't do those specific things.
Do you think you're so comfy on a mic now and especially with podcasting because of all that radio experience?
Well, they definitely, like, one hand wash the other, I'll say. Because, like, doing radio, when I first started, I got on there and I was a little kid. I was yelling. I was like, hey, everybody! Like, I was like,
radio voice.
Yeah, I was doing a radio voice. I was talking a mile a minute. And I remember my boss was just like, hey, man, just, like, slow down. Pretend you're talking to, like, he's like, if you have to bring in a, I never did this, but he's like, if you have to bring in a picture, pretend like you're just talking to one person. And that, like, clicked something in me where I was like, oh, yeah, because you're just talking to someone in their car. Sure, there might be a group of people listening to you, but really, at the end of the day, they're listening to you in their own head.
Yeah.
And that kind of, like, started working for me when I put that into comedy sense. Like, I know I'm talking to an audience, but if I, like, speak in a way that it's to one person,
sure,
it resonates a little harder, or it's like people are paying a little closer attention.
Could you smoke pot at the radio station?
I mean, not really, but all the time people were doing it.
And are you like a, you still smoke? Yeah.
Oh, I smoked right before this every, you know, all the time.
Did you feel like it makes you level out? Like, what kind of a pothead are you?
I'm a guy who, like, again, a high strung, I don't know if it's anxiety or what. I'm also depressed severely. Sure. So, like,
we all are.
It brings
me
out of a cloud. You know what I mean? Like, it gets me, hey, Josh.
It gets you excited for the day.
Yes.
Cool.
Or it, like, makes me do menial tasks like the laundry, grocery shopping, stuff like that. I'm like, oh, I'm smoking a joint. Now I'm going to go do some bullshit. And I, like, listen to music. And it's so much better than laying in bed going, like, why bother do laundry? You know what I mean? Or whatever. So
I can't afford one of those machines that just come get the clothes for me and wash themselves.
Exactly. You go, like, man, I'll just wait till I can afford a wash and fold and have them all do it all at once. Like that, you know, but it definitely also keeps me, like, I like to get high before I get on stage just because it does level me out. Like,
cool.
It's a little like I'm not nervous, but I'm just like, come on, get me up there. But this way it just kind of chills.
Anxious nerves.
Yes.
Not nervous, not performance anxiety.
I just want to do it already. You know? Yeah.
Are there things?
What are you? You smoke weed?
Because
you're so high functioning and you're out there and you're doing it all the time. I didn't know if you were blazing.
Oh yeah, man.
That's great to know.
Yeah, and I would have no problem if I was slapped with that. I guess, I mean, it's funny because my eyes, I feel like, look heavier than they have, you know, what, 10 years ago. But
I see what you're saying.
I get, actually, people were like, are you high right now? Like, a lot.
Yeah. Dude, I used to get out of traffic stops all the time because my eyes are so fucked up. They wouldn't even... I'm so high driving. They'd be like, are your eyes, something up with your eyes? I'd be like, oh, yeah. And they'd be like, all right, go on.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, because they would just look at my shitty one and be like,
Yeah, they didn't know how to respond to that.
Something's going on here, not highness.
It's almost like when Brad Williams, little person, and I would go to like a baseball game, and we'd see better seats that were in the handicap, and a security guy would come up and be like, "Hey, I don't know if you," and Brad's like, would look at him with like, "You're really going to tell me I can't sit here?" Like, and the guy would just freeze, like not knowing how what the protocol was for dwarf in the handicap seat. So he'd go, "You enjoy the game," and just kind of walk away. And it
post COVID, I have been appropriating that myself.
Good
actually.
For you.
I'm sitting in the handicap section of trains when I take the train. I had a woman come up to me, and I thought, "Here we go. She's going to question me." And I'll just say, "Oh, I thought because I can't, you know, my eyes or whatever." But she, all she said was, "Do you need anything?"
Whoa.
And I was like, "I'm here. I've done it."
I made it.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So, yeah, man. I don't know. I thought maybe I'd have to have a stick or what have you. But yeah, I forget how we got on.
Well, just pot. I mean, I like, I'm right now a before bed mostly. Mm. I've done it a handful of times performing in the 15 years. A couple of them were awesome.
Didn't, so you don't like to get high before you get on stage?
No, and I also have a problem with, like, I'm not good at, like, a couple puffs. I'm like, if I'm going to smoke, I'm going to smoke three blunts by myself.
Yeah.
And just go to a different place.
Right.
And giggle. But I do like to be, you know, even, you know, I'm going back home to Seattle in a few weeks and going to go to a friend of mine's on the Seattle Storm basketball team. Nice. And I'm going to go to a Mariners game. And I for sure will probably, I don't know if I'll take a gummy because I'll be around like some family. And I don't like to be too fucked up around.
Gummies are a little.
Yeah.
I'm not into
that. But
a
couple edibles. Puffs, if I can control that and just do that and then like ride that.
Yeah.
Like that's why one hitters I think are a sweet invention. But again, I'm of that, I don't even know if it's an addictive view, but it's like if I'm going to smoke a joint, I want to smoke
all
the joints.
That's everyone pins that on me because when I was a bowl guy for so long. So if I'm the one with the weed and I'm packing bowls, we're in a circle smoking bowls. Guess what? I keep packing them.
Yeah.
And then people are like, "I'm bowing out." I'm like, "Oh, did we?" They're like, "We smoked like seven bowls."
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Oh,
love
sorry."
That, by the way, that to me is like a great, like if
exactly.
they, whoever keeps
packing. I don't
packing,
want it
like,
to end.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then like.
Also, what are we doing? Like, are we trying to, you know.
Also, I feel like you can only get so high. Like, I don't go like, I'm too high. Like, I hit like a ceiling and then I'm just like. Yeah, I'm high. I don't know. It's just
we can sit here and listen to the music, or we can talk about, hey, when the aliens come, what do you think their favorite song would be right now? You know what I'm saying? Like elevate the chat.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember I told Tom that I get high before I go on stage. He's like, "You've been getting high before you go on stage like the whole time?" I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "I've never even noticed."
Well, he's just started entering the gummy world, right?
Yes, he started smoking, I think, two now a little more.
Okay, cool.
But he's definitely upped his milligrams. And,
but so the idea of being even stoned on stage is probably very foreign to him.
I don't know if he's done it. I know he has done it.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the idea of doing it like regularly. Mm. But it just makes me my pace better. Like I feel like it's the same thing like I was saying when I first started getting on radio. You're amped up, so you're just like ba ba da ba ba da ba. And I feel like if I'm out there sober, I'm still thinking about like I've just too much of these spider webs in my head.
Yes.
And I'm talking a mile a minute and my pace is off. I'm not engaged. When I'm high, I'm just like, boom, everything's quiet and I'm just in the pocket.
Have you had a paranoid high freak out? I'm sure there's.
On stage?
No, just in life. A too high, like.
You know, I really pride myself on my ability to when something is happening in that regard where I'm feeling fucking wild.
Yeah.
That I just attribute it to the drugs. So I can just kind of be like, it's the drugs.
Cool.
Relax. But like shrooms sometimes get me a little peaked up to the point where I'm like, I can't control, like my nose is running and stuff like that. My breathing feels weird. That kind of shit. I'm like, just fight through it. It's the mushrooms. But I don't get like, I've never been like, call 911, something
good
like
for
that.
You.
I did though at a Bills game one time on mushrooms, we were waiting to go in, you know, it was a tailgate. The national anthem was playing and we were late as always. Everybody is late for a Bills game. You're waiting outside. And, there's like four ways in. That's why everyone's piling through. So all of a sudden I see in the distance a fighter jet coming at us.
Oh God.
And I was on mushrooms and I was like, get down everybody. And I like made my friends like hit the deck. And,
by the way, anyone at a tailgate who screams get down, everyone's getting down. Cause that's
people
the farthest
did,
thing from anyone thinking they're going to hear.
Most of the people around me were wasted. So they were just like, what's this guy doing?
Oh, okay, cool.
But so like I hit the deck and the thing's I thought it was for the flyover. I thought it was going to murder us.
You thought it was 2 feet above you.
I thought it was going to kill us. I saw it coming right at us. I mean, it was in the distance, and it was, like, low. A fighter jet. Yeah. A fucking, like, F-16. And I thought for sure it was going to, like, put a sidewinder into the side of the stadium or something.
Oh, my God.
I was freaked out to the...
By the way.
And then someone was like, what do you... does a fly... He's like... I was like, well, I don't know, man. What if, like, a terrorist got a hold of one for a flyover? Yeah.
You wouldn't expect that suspect it.
He goes, they don't put the missiles in them, though. And I was like, yeah, but hey, we know they could just... What if you just, like, right into the side? I was like, I envisioned that.
Holy shit.
That freaked me out. So that was the one time I go, these are good shrooms. And then beat the Arizona Cardinals, I think.
Nice.
I forget who it was.
Football on shrooms has got... I've done shrooms twice, and I saw a lot of stuff, and I felt a lot of stuff. And I had some of the most interesting conversations with bugs that I think, which definitely was depressing because I came out of that being like, all right, just know that like that was a one-sided convo. You know, don't think that humans are now like, you know, I definitely for a few minutes, it took a minute to adjust. Like,
do you still see a buddy later after?
What's that?
Do you ever squash bugs again?
There was a brief time after where I had a lot more empathy towards the insect kingdom, but like definitely entered into some real life conversations being like, yeah, all right, man, I've heard better views on global warming from caterpillars. So if you want to fucking learn more, you know, and educate yourself. But yeah, there's something about, I didn't even know that people could, you know, microdose shrooms. Are you one of those?
I did that during the beginning of quarantine.
Yeah.
It got me.
How was your quarantine?
Terrible. The worst.
Yeah.
The ultimate worst. I mean, I hope I never have to do that again. I'm proud of myself for coming out of it.
Totally.
But I am, I hope I never have to live through something. And I hope none of us have to ever live through it. It is collective trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm hoping, you know, it feels like we're all divided or whatever. What I'm hoping is like now this summer with everyone going out again and things, that'll be like the 9/11 galvanization of the country, I hope.
Yes.
You know, just everyone's going to French. You're going to like a MAGA guy is going to French kiss a blue haired liberal like in the middle of the street. And it's going to be like the New York Times or what is it when like the people came home from war, you know, when they dipped them down in the Times Square or whatever.
I would be willing to put money on that we don't see that.
I hope. But, that's my hope.
But I hope. Yeah, I love that you're hoping for it. It's fun to hope.
Yeah.
It's fun to have hope.
I did say I was like our new, like the D-Day, like that the coronavirus is over. It'll be a screen grab of someone eating an ass in the street like that, like a sailor eating a woman's ass in the street. Yeah.
Somebody putting a Corona beer up somebody's ass and then taking a sip of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just from two different sides of the spectrum. Yeah, there's got to be a way. I mean, look, and sports is a really great way to
do
that. I
love sports.
I mean, what's your favorite?
I mean, I'm a Buffalo Bills fan, first and foremost, so I guess NFL is what I follow most closely. And then I would have said NHL for majority of my life up until the last 10 years, but Major League Baseball has taken over NHL just because the Sabres are so shitty.
Yeah.
And I cannot root for, and then the coronavirus, hockey was the worst sport to watch.
Oh, really?
To me, because there was no fans. Hockey needs fans.
Totally.
You're surrounded by them, and it was very glaring that they weren't there. With football, they barely show the crowd sometimes, you know?
And baseball, you need it too, with the cardboard cutouts.
But baseball, that did suck, but at the same time, like, the energy of the fans, like, I didn't miss it as much.
Yeah.
With baseball.
Because baseball cuts to a funny fan maybe three times a game.
Yes.
Where it's like an adorable fat kid with like double fist and hot dogs, but like doing that. So it's a little, you know, sexual and like they can, hot dogs and you know the kid doesn't know what he's doing. So they can show him until he starts like his dad pours ketchup and he goes like that.
And then
it's
the announcer's job to hold in every pun.
Yeah, look at that kid just double mouthing those wieners. That's a boy. I think we can tell he.
Partner, that one's going to grow up to be on the other side of the fence, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, probably doesn't have a girlfriend, more of a bat boy guy. Yeah, they're like, Jesus, you're fired now, man.
Maybe put him on the softball team there, Dad.
But in that low monotone baseball announcer voice.
Yeah, so no one, hopefully, it's like he's whispering so no one hears.
And quickly jump back into the count. That's how you can get away with anything.
Yeah, that's you know, what my entire podcast is based off of. is that move.
This kid's going to be more of a catcher than a pitcher. 2-1 the count to Hampton.
Ruggiano.
Yeah, the longer the name, the better.
Exactly.
To distract from the slur.
Josh Van Meter, the second baseman.
What's your favorite baseball name?
Oh my God, there's so many. I can't possibly pick. We can't make.
How about this?
Pick one right
give
now.
Me. I'm gonna give you a base. Shit. I'm gonna give you a baseball name.
Yeah, you got
a great baseball name, and you tell me. I did this game.
Real or fake?
No, well, we can do that next.
Okay.
I'm gonna give you a baseball name, and you, as if it was a sexual position.
Okay.
And you tell me what happens in that sexual position.
Okay. Cool.
So a guy is gonna give a girl a Bobby Bonilla. What happens?
Oh, he's pile driving her, right? Is that Bobby?
There's no right or wrong answer.
Oh,
this is your world.
You know who I was thinking of? I was thinking of that wrestler, Bobby Bonilla. No, yeah, that. If I'm Bobby Bonilla and someone, I'm up and down, pile drive, lateral.
Okay.
Lateral movements.
All right. Well, you're giving a girl a Brett Saberhagen.
That's when you put your two center fingers in her vagina and somehow you tickle her asshole with the outside too.
That is correct.
That's the Brett Saberhagen.
Great. How about a girl gives you a Jay Buhner?
A Jay Buhner? Ooh, that's where she's just really paying close attention to your taint with her mouth all the way. Like, and she does use her hand up top, but she is just Jay Buhner in your taint the whole time.
How about a Sandy Alomar?
Ooh, a Sandy Alomar, that is a bad move. That's when they just dry mouth. That's when they blow you with cotton mouth. They give you a Sandy Alomar. You don't want a Sandy Alomar.
That's the closest one that sounds like a real menu item at a sad brothel in Vegas.
Well, it's like when you're at a mixed company, you're like, let's just say she was about to go to town and it was a real Sandy Alomar.
And they go, say no more.
Say no more. Yeah.
That's amazing.
I love baseball names, though. I actually love the more innocuous ones, you know, like Trey Mancini just sounds like a baseball name. Some guys.
Isn't Bryce Harper, very
Bryce
baseball
Harper,
name.
Yeah, of course. You're just like, Jacob DeGrom just sounds like a baseball. I mean,
Mike Trout.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
Mike Trout is like an anomaly. I think he's what got me into baseball.
Really?
Honestly, partly. Because it's just, he is generationally wealthy now.
Yeah.
And if he walked into a Starbucks right now.
He could buy it.
He could not only buy it, but no one would know Mike Trout was in that Starbucks.
He could ask every barista to give him a Bobby Bonilla, and they'd all have to.
They would. Well, yeah, that's true, too. But also, he's so like, in Hollywood, he's out here in L.A. and he's not that like.
Well, that's baseball's fault. Baseball needs to figure out a way to take advantage of this Mickey Mantle type guy.
I just think that's wonderful for him, though. He could go.
Oh.
The people at Starbucks are like, what's your name? He's like, Mike. And they're like, all right. They write his name on
They don't
thing.
Know.
Yeah, they don't know. And he is like.
He also just looks like
this.
Every other SoCal surfer.
Yeah,
jock.
Exactly.
You know, he doesn't.
He can blend right in.
But also because he hasn't done like, you know. Hey, I'm Mike Trout. Like, when I go to Subway, I get a 6-inch tuna.
Right. Isn't that kind of the ultimate
mayo,
goal, though, is to be so, like, elite in one thing? Like, obviously, baseball fans know him up and down. He's one of the best players of all time. But I'm saying, like, the random people. He can walk down the street. He could go to the mall.
I think he loves that.
That's why everyone's like, why does he stay in Anaheim? I'm like, oh, he's living in paradise.
Yeah.
He's making $1 billion.
He's probably got a pool.
And he can go to the mall.
Go to the mall.
He can't do that in, like, Milwaukee.
No.
Or whatever, you know?
Yeah, going to the mall is one of those, like, I don't know, last few freedoms you like. Because the mall.
If you're famous, yeah.
Yeah. Because there's no shortage of places to get recognized if you're at a mall.
Well, there's, like, a tipping point. There's, like, you know, I'm still way on the low levels of the early point. So it's like, if I go to the mall and someone recognizes me, I'm like, hey, what a cool day. You know what I mean?
Who recognizes you? The kiosk guy or
Anybody,
the guy in
just
the store?
Just like a person walking through the mall. Hey, Josh Potter. Like something from just a comedy
cool.
fan or something.
Yeah.
Like if that happened, cool day. You know, but then there gets to be a point where you're like so famous where you go like, if I go to the mall, it's like every other person's coming up to me.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that would suck.
That would suck.
And you can't get from A to B without being like.
And people are following you too.
Yeah, that would be obnoxious.
Have you ever followed someone at the mall?
No, and of course not.
Great. I was teeing up my own story. So a guy in Minnesota was at the Mall of America. Nope. It was a different mall. Went to a different mall one day because I was like, I wonder what are the, you know, the smaller malls that aren't getting all the Mall of America love.
Right. In that area? There's other malls?
I can't remember where it was. It was maybe on the outskirts of town. And I'm walking.
Tough place to be.
I'm walking toward. Yeah. Tough place to be another mall.
Yeah.
And no one knows the name of it, by the way.
Sure.
And so I'm walking close to, I guess, the banister, the little glass wall that is separating, you know, a nice drop off, which again, I stopped for a moment and thought, what would I yell before I jumped, you know? And so I'm walking close to this thing, and there's a guy walking towards me at about And there's plenty of space to my right, not much to the left. I'm already about 5 to 6 feet away from this glass wall. So I, and we're walking towards each other, he's probably about 35, 40 feet away. And we start getting closer and closer, and I slowly start shifting my weight towards the glass wall, and he just stays where he is, which is already close to the glass wall, and doesn't move. Like, I made the first move. I initiated, right. Like, I'm going to go left, baby. You go right.
Right.
Is kind of insinuated.
Like just, you do in America.
Like you do if you have a brain.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
you
yeah.
just see, you, we've all been in this situation where you just, somebody splits and you mm-hmm. feel the room. And if you get too close, you stop and you go, whoa, hey, and you make some weird, like, oh, I thought we were going to have to fuck right. or whatever, you know. And you don't say that. You know, you just give him a hug, you maybe a bump, and you go, happy COVID, right? And you walk the other way. And so this guy gets close to me. Not only does he not change position, but literally takes his shoulder and throws it into my shoulder and hits me. And I was so taken aback. And I'm in a mall.
Was he in a leather jacket?
I think he had a backpack on. He might have had a leather jacket.
Because it would be like,
he might have had a leather
jacket. Sounds like a Thunderbird or some
I took video of him. I could scroll through my phone and find it. So point being, he hits me. I bounce back. And I'm so in shock. My first reaction, I started laughing. Because it was so, I saw that from somebody else's view and how funny that must have looked. Also, the fact that he wound up and drove shoulder into shoulder was just really crazy. It also kind of hurt. So it was just like, I think my body was like, look, we got a few options on how you can respond here. You can laugh. You can come. We're going to suggest laugh.
Yeah, yeah. And, the second one's harder.
The second one's harder, but on the table.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
or
definitely.
Or you didn't, I noticed you didn't say fight.
Well, that was quickly became the first option.
Oh, wow.
Fight, jump. Fight was maybe 5 or 6 down the line.
See, come for me would come first, come sooner than not fight. It would be come, and well, I can't even come when I'm like with a lady. So it's like, I'm fucking like.
Well, there was a small part of me that was like, maybe you come fight. You know, maybe it's just like they're both right here.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, fight and then come and really throw them off? Or well, come and then initiate the fight. You know?
That'd be great if that's how you had to come. You had to fight someone. You're like, I'm going
to
fucking.
And I have to tell him this as I'm hitting him. Yeah. Yeah. By the way, yeah. So he just keeps walking. And I remember going, what the fuck? I said that. And then he just threw up a middle finger and kept walking.
Oh, wow.
So then I take out my phone. I start following him. I start videotaping and now doing narration as I'm following him into a Nordstrom. And now he didn't have a game plan going into the Nordstrom. So now he's going up to like perfume counters and faking small talk.
Oh,
so
wow.
I just go up and I'm just faking. I'm like, I go, don't trust anything this guy says. He just laid me out with a shoulder next to the glass out there in the mall. He's a shoulder popper.
Wow.
And then I just start like doing this and he just walks away. I fought him for a good 5 minutes.
Oh my God.
And then.
Filming is aggressive.
Yeah, and then said, I'm going to, I think, post this on whatever and like talk about this in my act and whatever.
Oh.
And then stopped and then turned around and started walking the other way and then felt him behind me and then stopped and then he stopped and then he just turned and walked the other way.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, God, should I have fought him? This was all very passive aggressive.
I've seen red like this before. I would have never been, I've never gone like, I got to film the person. I've gone like, I hope no one's filming this because I've said things. I've been like, I am going to fucking, like, I have done that kind of thing. And I'm not a big guy.
Well, that's what I did. I just kept it funny. In my head, I was like, this could be a funny video.
Oh, yeah. See, I don't make it funny.
I was hoping he would turn and go ominous
threats because I have nothing. No, there's nothing I can do in the immediate. You're a tall guy. You could probably, I don't know how big this guy was. You could probably like punch him or whatever. But I have to make like ominous threats down the road that they have to be scared of. And say those types of things. I've seen red and done that where I'm like, I will fucking slit your throat when you're not even expecting it. You don't even know. I have nothing else to look forward to. I will wait until the very second you don't know that I'm there. And I walk so quietly. I walk so quietly. I don't need much. And I have always knives in my pocket all the time, like the Joker. And I've done those types of things.
Oh, man.
And freak them out. But, like, I've never fought a person.
Yeah.
I've
in a mall.
Like that.
At a perfume counter. It yeah, definitely no, crossed
it
my mind.
In a mall parking lot, I've said things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was hoping he'd turn to me and say something hilariously, you know,
something
fueled with rage.
Viral.
Yeah. That I could say something back with. And then take that little clip.
Yes.
And it was just too real. And the perfume lady was like
oh,
looking
sure.
at me like, hey, I'm looking, I'm just trying to sell some cool water
sure,
to this
sure.
psycho. Do you mind fucking, you know, muting the camera?
Yeah, can you both leave? That she was like, yeah.
yeah. There's a kid trying to get some, yeah.
My dad used to do that, though, like road rage style, follow people around.
Hilarious.
And I never had the road rage thing, and I think weed helped me with that by the time I, like...
Be happy you never.
Because now I don't have any sort of really... It really takes a lot to get me to see red in that way where a lot.
Would he ever fight with people? My dad definitely yelled at a guy at a gas station once, and while I was inside the car and my dad was filling up, the guy came up and pushed my dad up against the window. So my dad, like, I'm sitting at the window and dad's face, like, I see the guy coming behind him and I'm like, behind you! And my dad's like, huh? And then he just gets shoved up in his face and he was like, seeing your dad just like,
that's
fuck!
Yeah.
And it was like his weekend with us, so it was his mom's like, how was it? It was like, dad got his ass kicked. And she's like, fuck yeah! Like, that's
Is
what
that
he
when
gets.
You thought, like, I could beat my dad's ass?
For sure.
Yeah, that was the moment.
No,
right?
I mean, it was not a harrowing moment. I mean, it was definitely like, I guess I'm going to have to defend from myself, like at gas stations moving forward.
I have a joke about this in my app, but I heard someone do a joke about something like that where they beat up their dad when they were young and they were like, oh, my dad's weak as fuck.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't think they had that moment. Psychologically, I don't think you want that as a kid.
No. My dad beat me up when I was 25, though.
For so, real?
Oh, yeah. Like,
whoa.
Like he was cheating on my mom and I thought I would, like, you know, do something about it.
Yeah.
And he beat the shit out of me.
Wow.
And he, and like, yeah, it was wild. And that, I was like, okay. I don't fight. That's the problem. I'm not a fighter.
Have you been in any fights since?
No. That was my first fight since I was like a kid. And in that fight, all I did was it was like a gang fight almost. Mm. It was like a group of kids fighting another group of kids at a park. And one charged me and I just suplexed him kind of, you know what I mean? I scooped him from his knees over my shoulder. And then he was like, oh, and I got out of that. That was all I had to do.
There's a good YouTube rabbit hole that I encourage anyone to go down where it's like dad fights in the stands of basketball games for high school kids. I don't know if you saw any high school dad fights, but man, it's some of them are pretty crazy.
Yeah,
and I was on the
wild.
Court for a few that were like, the games got called because dad's just, and that's one thing that I think about if I ever have kids, I'm like, I don't. Like, I almost don't even want to go to the games because I know if you like sports, if you can scream at people you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to be willing to throw down for your friend's kid or, you know, like you're going to get to know these kids enough to where you're going to be like, if they foul him like that again, I'm going out there, you know?
Sure.
And I don't even want to be a part of that.
No. That's if, you know, even if I have a kid someday and they play sports, I'm going to not be that way whatsoever.
Yeah.
I'm going to be like, you handle it. You know what I mean?
I'd rather be the guy with a 40 at like a T-ball game.
That's
in the stands
by
myself being like, you guys got no heart. You know,
I just like baseball. That's the way I'm going to be so that guy, dude.
Yeah.
I'm going to be the guy like with a lawn chair at a firefighter game, like marking scores down in my phone, like being like, oh, they got I'm going to definitely be that guy. I was going to ask you this,
because
you were saying you can just yell at sports people. Do you ever find yourself now being a sports fan, and now you've hit a certain level now where like people know who you are, where you're shitting on a guy, like yelling at him in the outfield or something, and he's like, I'm a fan.
Oh, man, that hasn't happened yet. I've been with people where that's happened.
You're like, you suck, and they're like, oh, it's Adam Ray thinks I suck.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
Stuff like that. Like,
yeah. See, I still, yeah, I don't know. I've had that happen with people, with non-athletes.
Sure.
Like, definitely, like, a guy almost hit me at a crosswalk, and I definitely was pretty lippy with
funny.
Him,
okay,
and
yeah.
He was rolling the window. He was like, big fan, man, just heard you on Kroll last week. And I was like, oh, after I'd been like, hey, fucking Jesus Christ, man, you drive, like, fucking watch what you fucking do, like, whatever. I was like, oh, my bad. Dude, big fan. Like, Amelia came in hard with the compliment, and I was like, all right, yeah, just, dude, just, you know, don't kill me, Nick. You know, thank you, man. Like, and immediately, it softens you up, because you're like, oh, you know, thanks, man, for, you know, I go, all right, you want to hit me a little bit? There's just, you know, I'll sign.
Right. It makes you, I mean, like, I've had that now happen, like, in social media senses,
yeah.
Where they'll be like saying something and then I'll like chirp back and they'll be like, oh, big fan, man. I was just
very quickly.
Yeah. And you're like,
always.
Oh, shit.
Do you read the comments?
I don't read the comments. I read like, I'll pop in now, especially because I'm kind of solo dolo. I need this like gay. Otherwise, I'm just like, I feel like I'm buoyless and I don't have enough people around me to be like,
yeah,
this is good, this is bad. So I try to check in a little bit, but I don't like, I've never been on a Reddit thing. I've never, I don't try to read all of them or anything like that. But like, you know, on your Instagram or something, you read them. That's about as close as I'll come.
Yeah.
But, I'm saying like when it's a reply in like a tweet or something and then you chirp back, you're like, oh yeah, this wasn't just some random person replying. This guy like likes me.
Yeah.
So I should be. So now I like, before I like tweet something shitty about an athlete, I'm like, what if he follows me? You know what I mean? Like I think about that, like, which is a weird thing to think about, but I'm like, I don't want to shit on this guy. And then maybe he's like, ah, I like your comedy. And then I'd feel like a real asshole. Cause I'd be like,
for sure.
Love your baseball, dude. Like, what am I supposed to say back? I
just great
shat
hustle,
on
man.
Yeah, you're the worst first baseman I've ever seen, Will Compton. And then I'm like, oh shit. What if Will Compton, I think. Like, there was one that followed me back when I was like shitting on him, and I was like,
man.
And I don't want to say who it is, but it was like, I was like, oh god, I don't want to fuck it. I deleted them real quick. I'm like, what if he likes me? You know,
for sure, that could be a concern moving forward. Is we only like, you know, stack the chips where you go, God, I already don't feel like I'm taken to the interwebs too hard to lean in on, you know, like Cher still touring, what the fuck? And then she like DMs me being I've actually really enjoyed your episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know? But are there people that have followed you or you found out were fans that have really kind of blown your mind so far?
There's been like a couple, but like no one that would blow anyone else's minds. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, yeah, I don't care about
me,
them. I care about
like a couple of the Bills, old Bills players, and a couple of like, you know, minor league ball players, like things like that. Like I love, and then that makes me, that does make me though, like go. And plus that makes you go like, when people start tweeting like Josh Potter sucks or whatever, you know what I mean? Random people that are just tweeting that, you go like, man, that hurts.
Yeah.
You're like, so why am I doing that? It makes you start dealing with social, like you've climbed the fence in the social media thing where it's like, I don't need to tweet like this guy blows at center field anymore. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't, I'm done with that part of my life. Exactly. So it definitely made me like more empathetic in that regard as far as a sports fan goes, you know, especially even with the Bills. Like I'll tweet like facetious shit like about Patriots players, like they're all traitors who should die a traitor's death,
right?
You know, if they go to the team, but stuff like that. But I'm not, that's just because I loathe that particular franchise, you know?
What do you think about Tom Brady? You think he's going to win again?
Nowadays, I have relaxed my thoughts on Tom Brady now that he's out of our division. I don't hate his guts as much as I once did. In fact, when he was in the Super Bowl this past year, I go, kudos, old man. Now I'm like, hey, go as long as you want, buddy.
Yeah.
Play until you're fucking 60. I don't give a shit. As long as you're not wearing that fucking red, white, and blue Patriot helmet anymore, I don't care what you do.
Hey, you guys kind of have an open ended invite to just run that division, I feel like.
Sort of. I feel like it's like Star Wars. Like, this was our end of, like, the Death Star blew up. It's the end of A New Hope. And I'm scared of what Belichick's got cooking up. You know, the Empire did build another Death Star. So
is Belichick
like,
the Emperor?
Yes, 100%.
Because right.
Brady was like Vader, but not really. I guess, like, maybe you can compare him to something different now, but he was like the Vader.
Who's Yoda on the Patriots?
On the Patriots, there's no Yoda. He's a Jedi, so he would be on the Bills. And now Yoda was Ralph Wilson.
Hmm.
I gave him that just because Yoda was old. But now I think Brandon Bean is Yoda.
I really did enjoy that Yoda fight. I think it was the Sam Jackson Star Wars. How many was he in?
The CGI one.
They
he
fought,
was in
right?
the one. He was in all of the first three.
Okay.
He died in the Anakin killed him. Sorry, spoiler, kids.
Hey man, next thing you're gonna tell me, Forrest Gump finds out the kid's his. Fucking Josh Potter spoiler.
He
alert,
dies in
table
the best way
one.
Fashion though, because Anakin, it's one of his first kills.
Cool.
Darth Vader's first like kills of the Jedi, and that's like one of the best scenes in those movies. Because I don't know who the guy is who plays the Emperor. But he's my favorite
because
he's just like, that's when he starts turning into the Emperor. Because at first he's talking like, he's like, Anakin, you can do whatever you feel. You know, he's talking like that. But then now he's like, no. Like he's getting into that shit. He's like, end him.
Yeah, he kind of had a little bit of a, you know, Krang from the animated Turtles back in the day.
Yes.
Where it's really like, yes.
Who went on to start 8chan, as we learned in the QAnon document.
Wait, what? Wait, the guy who voiced Krang started QAnon?
No, Krang himself. Dude.
Oh, hilarious.
You have to watch the documentary. Yeah, yeah. This guy knows. He saw it.
Are you a big doc guy?
I don't know. I try to watch ones here and there. It depends what it's on, you know. You
what get... truly tickles your fancy?
I like all the dark ones, yeah. But, you know, you got to temper your... if you go down a wormhole of them too much, you're like,
for
God,
sure.
My brain's fucked. I want to watch something... Can I see a nice documentary?
I know, right? You know? Everything's trying to just, you know, blow our minds and get us to.
I'm not like
make
a serial
changes.
Killer guy anymore. I used to be, but now they're all like, you've seen one serial killer, you've seen them all.
Some of them are fucking crazy too. I watched one about this guy that it must have been 3 months ago. Killed his kids. Well, the wife, he was cheating on her, and then killed the kids, and then she was like on a trip and came back and like. Dude, it was so fucking depressing, and it was
of
just
course.
Like, yeah, I'm just like, why am
Did
I watching
Did you see the
this?
One Abducted in Plain Sight?
Yes.
That documentary broke all doc. No documentary
no.
is going to have as many twists and turns
I know.
And amazing, I mean.
You end up tipping your hat to the guy at the end.
I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
We don't want to see him like in an interview, but he died or whatever. But yeah, no, I mean.
Buzzkill.
Wild.
Yeah.
Wild. No documentary will ever touch that one
Mm-mm.
in any way.
What do you talk about on your podcast, The Josh Potter Show?
We talk about fucked up stories that yeah. are like, you know, kind of fly under the radar. Try not to talk about anything that like, you know how people are, they're like, we got to talk about all the trending topics. I find like, I guess like just weird shit that's going on in little small towns that nobody's talking about.
Cool.
Because then, you know, you don't have to get into the whole fucking spider webs of the zeitgeist,
yeah.
you know? So we talk about that. We talk about sports, but in a way that it's not X's and O's, things like that. It's more of like the wild shit going on off the field mostly, but sometimes it could be on the field. A lot of stuff with announcers, with fans, stuff like that, so...
How about, was it Tom Brenneman?
Tom Brenneman,
right?
Yeah.
That got in trouble for, just to go back to our
yeah,
commentators
no, he did get
being,
in trouble, yeah.
He was hot on the mic and didn't realize it.
Did not realize it, unfortunately. And
said
he
what
had
again?
A famous apology. Well, he said the
F-bomb. Of,
the bad slurs,
yeah.
yes. And then didn't realize it, that it went out on the air. No one in the production crew realized it either. And it
that
was
a his
doubleheader.
Argument.
Well, no, not no one. There was no argument yet, but they hadn't realized. So he finished the game that game. It was a doubleheader. And then it was a big, it went viral on Twitter, obviously. So when the doubleheader second game started, he started off with an apology where he so famously then called a Nick Castellanos home run in the middle of and
That's right.
flawlessly called it, by
yeah.
the way. And, and my theory on that is that that was instinctual. That had nothing to do with, he wasn't trying to be callous.
No.
He was trying to be so pointed with his words that he... didn't even realize he was calling the home run.
Probably
it was
not.
Just,
it's second nature.
Yes, just came out.
He sees
out
a ball go over the fence. He's not going to react to it.
That's he would have done that at home. Like his wife could have been in labor, and he saw it. It would have been like
swung on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Like anything. His house could have been burning down, and Nick Castellanos could have hit that home run, and he would have said, "Deep drive into left field. Castellanos making it a 4-0.
Grab the other side of the hose. One yeah. second. Two outs. Yeah.
His kids are drowning in a fucking. I mean, I swear, it just literally poured out of his body, and he went right back into the apology. So I believe in second chances. I hope they eventually allow Tom Brenneman back into the booth.
One of the greats, too. What a bummer.
Well,
to go
dad,
that long.
He's one of the greats, and his father's one of the greats. It's a legacy thing.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it's a Reds history. And it's what got me into baseball. I learned baseball from Marty and Tom Brenneman. So.
It did roll off his tongue with, you know, there's the slip-ups where maybe it was a Freudian, like, you know, I meant to, you know, I don't know. Not say that. Like it was like when you see on the news when they're like. Oh,
when they mistakenly say a word that they didn't mean.
I just saw a really good one because those are some of my fave. The news
yes.
bloopers when they're like. And it's, you know, it's a real. What's a good example of one? Like where they'll say. I just saw one where he said tits instead of.
Because the last name was like McGee. They're like, Tits McGee. I mean, Ryan
Rita,
McGee.
Yeah, Ryan, yeah. yeah, something where it's just a real.
Because they're just reading without, and their brain is somewhere else. You
also,
know?
Daily like that, just
right.
reading off the prompter.
Droning, basically.
And they, some of them do get that Anchorman thing where like they aren't even, like,
of
they
course.
Haven't reviewed the copy.
Of course. So I used to do it. I used to do the same thing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I mean, like, I used to read, someone would pass me an ad, I'd just read it. Automatically, and it becomes a thing where you're like already thinking about the next thing you're doing
yeah.
and you're just rattling this off. And for yeah, his, I mean, I don't I don't think we'll ever know the context of what he was actually saying. It literally picked up right when he said that word. And
I would just always lean on the side of the mic's probably on.
Well, but the thing is, I mean, like, yes, obviously, and you'd think a broadcaster like that would too. And you have those, like, grace moments, but it's also like you got to think as being on that side of things in two regards, meaning like the board operator also. You could have a guy that day that potted you up maybe 1 second earlier than he normally does, and which is the case in this case. You know what I mean? Like, he could have been like 3-2 and you're up already and not know it. And then, like, instead of usually you're like 3-2 and you have that beat of a second. You know what I'm saying? So that's all it takes. And yeah, he said he flew so close to the sun saying that right as he's about to go on the air that, you know, maybe he got a little too out of pocket in terms of his professionalism or something like that. But I don't know. I'm going to get to the bottom of it someday.
Well, the Josh Potter Show is where you can hear all this fun stuff.
Yes,
YouTube,
sir. Every
Spotify.
Tuesday, yes.
Every Tuesday.
Yes.
You know, James Lipton tragically passed not too long ago. RIP. Inside the Actor's Studio was one of my fave shows. No doubt you would have been on there at some point. So I'd like to close out this episode with his famous 10-question questionnaire.
Please.
To pay homage to Lipton and also get to know Josh Potter a little deeper.
I can't wait.
Here we go. Here with Josh Potter. Josh, what's your favorite word?
Oh, my favorite word is golly.
Use it in a sentence, please.
Golly, look at that, those tits on her. Something like that. That's usually when I use it. When a girl walks by.
Yeah.
It's just one sentence usually. Golly.
How do you spell it? With a hard G?
Big capital G-O-double-L-Y.
What is your least favorite word?
My least favorite word. Ah, that's tough. Probably something like I wasn't going to say moist, but that's so cliche. It is something like that, though.
Moist?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not a big fan of that word.
Yeah, moist.
There's other ways to describe what you're trying to convey.
Exactly.
Like what?
Wet.
Damp?
Yeah, damp, wet. Sopping's a bad word.
Yeah.
I just made it worse. There we go.
How about, I made a sopping, moist, damp, wet cake for you.
Anything to describe a swamp-like anything is gross.
Yeah, if it's not a swamp, especially.
Yes, especially if it's not a swamp. Yeah. And especially if it's a body part.
You hear that, Dad? Quit telling me about your sexual sopping escapades.
Oh, that would be the worst euphemism for pussy ever. Swamp?
Yeah, son, I'm back in the dating game. Met a gal at the local tavern. She had quite the sopping pussy. God. You're like, Dad. Yeah. It's 7 a.m. Too early.
Like a swamp. Just gooey and sticky.
Consider me the Loch Ness Monster. All right, Josh, what turns you on?
I'm finding out intimacy is something that's turning me on. Yeah, it's something weird. I like making out and stuff like that.
Yeah, that should never go out of style. Yeah. And it's a true, I think it's arguably a red flag / deal breaker if you're historically bad.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Because like that, in most situations, should be the starting point.
Yes.
I mean, unless there's people out there that are just we don't even kiss
so
and I'm down for butt
it.
Stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, like especially, I guess that is one of the things that's like a handoff with the one night stand thing where they're like, it's like, we're going to fuck, we're not going to make out. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Women are saying this, so.
They are.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
What turns you off?
What turns me off? I don't like when women talk about comedy. And I don't mean that in terms of what they like or what they don't like. Like, I hate... Don't you hate... Have you ever had this happen where women are like, how do I get in... Like, how would I start? And you're like, oh, you just want to start? You can just go do it now?
Gotcha.
You know, that kind of thing.
Gotcha.
Have you had that ever?
In both men and women, yeah.
Yes,
for sure.
It's the most insulting question.
You know what I think you're saying, and I totally dig, is people that you know, they don't want to actually do it.
Yeah.
And so they're just, and they're also just kind of, without meaning to maybe, disrespecting what it takes, requires,
work
ethic. Well,
they see
you perform
in front of a lot of people. They think, oh, that's what that is. I want to try that.
And it's maybe like, you're making it look easy, fun, whatever it is, however you're, you know, resonating with them. And yeah, but just like, I think I could, like, just a cash approach to it instead of, like, without any pre-text of, like, fuck, you, that's incredible. That is, like, would I even, like, is there, if I were to, you know what I'm saying? Like, just
right. Open. If they have the, like, if, well, the other thing was, like, they're almost trying to have you convince them to do it. And you're like, what is that?
Totally. Yeah, almost putting it, it's almost like a guy at a urinal being like, you know, making small talk with you about your stream or saying like, boy, is it me or these urinals make my dick look small? Like almost asking for you to be like, you got a fine cop,
no,
man.
No, you got it. Like me, I'm going to bring you on the road with me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, like, Jesus, it is that kind of shit. And I've had girls do that to me, you know, especially like if you ever fuck like an open micer or something too, they'll be like... So, like, how do you get that gig? And you're like, oh, you think that you just, like, go do it? Whoa. You just go do that? You just get past there like that? That's how that happens?
Yeah.
And it's like, you don't even really want to do this anymore. I don't know.
It's a, it's why not everybody goes for it. Right. All right, we got to wrap
My
this
bad.
Up.
I'm so sorry.
No, you're good.
Long
you're good.
Answers.
What's your favorite curse word?
Definitely fuck. Mm-hmm. Definitely fuck. It has to be. It's unoriginal, but it is definitely fuck. Twat's my other one.
Twat's a great word.
I love calling people twats.
What sound and noise do you love?
Sound and noise that I love.
Sound or noise.
I love the coo of like a... I like a coo of a dove. A morning dove.
Can you give me a little taste of what...
You know the ones that... like I thought they were owls until very recently. They're like... Croo. Something like that. You know, in the morning you hear those?
No.
I always thought it was an owl. I'm like, that owl's up early.
That's not, that's not an owl?
No, it's a morning dove, I learned.
Fuck.
Yeah. And it's pretty awesome.
We'll be right back. I wish I was sponsored
by some
sort
of... Is
there a
sound that I hate? Because I have one right on deck.
What sound of noise do you hate?
The sound of a fucking fork in a plate and a knife.
Oh, I could hear it.
Yeah.
You just miming it made me hear it. How
my
about an
roommate,
owl?
I want a fucking...
How about an owl trying to get that last piece of rice
in the
bowl?
If it could drown it out, if the... could drown it out, I would do that.
What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Oh, man. I don't know, dude. That's,
next question.
I don't want to do anything else. I swear to God. There's
good answer.
Nothing else.
What profession would you not like to do?
All of them. I see these people out every day going to work, and I don't want to be any of you. I think this your shit is... You know what's the worst? Seeing people have to work on the side of the road. I have so much admiration for
me
those
too.
People.
I know.
Like doing construction.
Out there in the trenches.
Go, 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 go. That kind of shit. Oh, God bless you out there doing that.
If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
There's four girls that are ready right over there for you. Go say what's up. They've been waiting.
One of them said she's got the G-golly tits.
Golly.
Josh Potter, you're the man. This was great, dude.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks so much for having
we
me.
We haven't
appreciate
talked like this ever.
Ever. So, yeah, that was wonderful.
It truly was.
Thank you.
At Josh Potter for all the goodies on IG and Twitter.
It's at J underscore Potter on Twitter and at Josh underscore Potter on Instagram. I made it really hard because I never thought people would give a shit. So that's what those are. And you can find all my shows, everything else, my podcast,
Twitter,
all three
everything.
Of those things.
Yeah, all of it's great. You're hilarious.
Thank you.
Thanks again, Duder.
Love you.
Love you.